From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Juneau police have identified the crew member that went missing off a cruise ship in Juneau waters on Monday night. Police say it was a 31-year-old man from Tennessee named Lorenzo Anthony Holmes Jr. Police say he was an entertainer on Holland America's Koningsdam, where he'd worked since May. Authorities say video on board captured a person climbing over the ship's railing. Eyewitnesses aboard another cruise ship in port saw something fall into the water, followed by calls for help. Holland America said on Tuesday that it was likely that the man went overboard intentionally. The Coast Guard searched the area but didn't find anyone. Juneau Police Lieutenant Craig Campbell says for now, the incident is being treated like a missing persons case.
Without a body, you know, there'd be nothing to go to medical examiner's office. They wouldn't make any ruling.
Campbell says because the eyewitnesses and ships are in motion, investigating will take some extra coordination. Campbell said the police will document their findings, which could help the court system declare a legal death without the body. Holland America says it is offering counseling services to affected team members and guests. During last night's Juneau Board of Education meeting, the board announced that masks will continue to be optional for students and staff during the upcoming school year.
Our mask policy is not on the agenda tonight as an action item. That is because we did not anticipate a change to that policy.
That's Superintendent Bridget Weiss. While masks remain optional, Weiss says the school district will focus on ventilation in buildings and encouraging people to stay home if they are sick. One change from last year is that pre-K students will not be required to wear masks. The youngest students in the school district had to wear masks at school last year. That's because until this summer, vaccinations weren't available to children under 5. School Board President Elizabeth Sidden says she wants people to know masks are still required in cases where a student or staff member is exposed to COVID-19. Again, that's not a change in policy, just a continuation of the policy adopted last year. The policy also requires mask use around high-risk students, which is handled case by case, Sidden says. During Tuesday's meeting, the school board moved to get rid of the requirement for all Juneau School District employees to test weekly. Last year, staff who were fully vaccinated and those who recently had COVID-19 were exempt from testing. Emil Mackey was the only board member to vote against repealing weekly testing.
If we repeal this requirement, what tool is left in our toolbox should we get another variant or a different disease that suddenly appears? To actually send the staff home.
Free at-home tests will be available for staff and students in school buildings. Staff cannot test students, but students can take them home to test themselves. One more change for this year is that students who travel to other communities for school activities won't have to test first unless the destination community requires it. Alaska health officials say that a Juneau woman in her 30s has died of COVID-19. It's not clear when she died. The state reported a total of 21 new deaths among Alaska residents. One was in February of this year, and the rest were from May through July. Over the course of the pandemic, 22 Juneau residents have died from COVID-19. The state reported 63 cases of COVID-19 in Juneau last week among residents and visitors to town. The case count is down more than 40% from the week before. It doesn't include positive results from home tests. There were more than 2,500 cases reported across the state. That includes almost 700 non-resident cases. Almost half of those were identified on vessels at sea related to tourism. Statewide, 65 people with COVID-19 are in the hospital. One of them is on a ventilator. One person is being treated for COVID at Bartlett Regional Hospital here. COVID-19 vaccinations are now available for anyone 6 months or older. Juneau Public Health offers vaccine clinics on Wednesdays and Fridays. In Juneau, call 907-586-6000 or go to juneau.org/vaccine to make an appointment. The proposed Pebble Mine has faced significant setbacks recently, but that hasn't stopped a mysterious new investor from committing millions of dollars to the controversial project at the headwaters of Bristol Bay. KDLG's Catherine Moncure has this story.
In late July, Northern Dynasty Minerals received $9.4 million from a new, unnamed investor. This would seem to be an unusual time for a big investment. In May, the EPA issued a proposed determination to prohibit the discharge of mining materials in the waters around the Pebble deposit, a decision that would effectively kill the project if it stands. And the Army Corps of Engineers denied Pebble's permit in 2020. Pebble and Governor Dunleavy are fighting to have that permit denial reversed. And then, in July, a fire swept through the Pebble Mine supply camp. Odds seem slim that the mine breaks ground in the foreseeable future. In spite of this, the new investor has signed an agreement for even more potential investments over a two-year period, up to $47 million in total. That's according to Mike Westerlund, Vice President of Investor Relations for Northern Dynasty Minerals. Westerlund says the investor is a private asset management company and that Northern Dynasty won't provide the investor's name because of the treatment previous partners have faced.
We found in the past that many of the ENGO community will use this information to wage public campaigns against our investors, which doesn't seem fair to me or reasonable even, but they try to pressure them and they try to block them, et cetera, and make life unpleasant for them. So we're just choosing not to release their name at this time.
Westerlund says Northern Dynasty wanted to raise funds without issuing equity because their stock prices are low. Northern Dynasty's stock jumped 5 cents to 32 cents per share. But this is just a fraction of the company's peak price of more than $20 in 2011. Westerlund says the new investment will help, quote, move the permitting forward. He added that the investor is aware of the history of public opposition against the mine and the EPA's proposed determination released in May. They're motivated to put money into the project anyway.
So the investor believes in the long-term value of gold and silver, that they see gold and silver being very valuable metals in the future.
Westerlund says that with each $9.4 million the new investor commits, it will receive 5% of silver and 6% of gold produced over the lifetime of the mine. Bob Loeffler is a research professor of public policy at the University of Alaska Anchorage Institute of Social and Economic Research. His work includes studies on land and resource issues. He says the investor may believe the reward is high enough to warrant a risky investment.
I don't know who the investor is. I imagine that from the investor's side, they're going, well, the odds are quite long that the mine will win either or both their permit appeal and will prevent the EPA from vetoing any mine permit. But clearly some investor thinks the odds are non-zero. So it's a risk reward, and the investor must believe that the reward is high enough.
Loeffler worked for the Alaska Department of Natural Resources for over two decades. His job at UAA is funded in part by the Council of Alaska Producers, a mining trade association. Loeffler says his professional obligation is to the university, not the industry. He says Pebble seems to be preparing for a long, expensive battle over permitting because keeping the Pebble Mine project alive is critical for the existence of Northern Dynasty itself.
Northern Dynasty has only one asset, and that's the Pebble project. It's not like, you know, General Motors, which can say, well, this particular car isn't selling well, I'll concentrate on other cars. Or even a large mining company, which might say, this particular prospect is becoming expensive, I'll concentrate on my other prospects. As far as I know, their only asset is the Pebble prospect, so they don't have any alternatives.
The EPA's proposed determination to nix the mine is not final. The agency held public hearings in Dillingham, New Haven, and online in June. The written comment period is open until September 6th. In Dillingham, I'm Catherine Moncure.
And finally, Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson says he's launching an investigation into how his own administration failed to catch the fake credentials of his former health director. Joe Gerace resigned as director of the Anchorage Health Department on Monday, citing health issues. His resignation came after Alaska Public Media confronted him with evidence that the resume he used to get the job was fabricated. Bronson's statement about the investigation comes a day after Alaska Public Media and American Public Media published a story about how Gerace overstated and misrepresented his educational credentials and military background to get the city health director job. Bronson read a statement at a Tuesday assembly meeting.
Upon learning the shocking news yesterday about Joe Gerace, I immediately tasked the Municipal Manager's Office and Human Resources Department to investigate the hiring of former health director Joe Gerace. I expect an in-depth and thorough investigation into this matter and HR hiring practices moving forward.
Bronson's statement is a reversal from a day earlier. On Monday, Bronson's spokesperson Corey Allen Young said that the city didn't have enough time to answer questions about Gerace's credentials, and he said some of the information presented was untrue. The mayor then, in a statement late Monday afternoon about Gerace's resignation, praised Gerace as dedicated and hardworking. At an assembly meeting Tuesday, City Manager Amy Domboski said that the city would require new employees to give HR permission to contact former employers and colleges to verify credentials. She said the department would also verify credentials of employees that had been hired since the administration took office. Assembly members who voted to confirm Gerace said Tuesday they felt lied to during last year's confirmation process. They said they acted on the information given to them about Gerace's credentials at the time. West Anchorage Assemblymember Cameron Perez-Verdia, who voted to confirm Gerace, said the Bronson administration needs to answer questions about what it knew or it could lose public trust.
You begin to question not just this one hire, but many hires, right? You wonder whether the administration has done background checks and has done verification of degrees of the many people that they've brought forward.
Assembly members say they want more information from the Bronson administration to make sure this doesn't happen again. Chris Constant, the Assembly Vice Chair, said the Assembly Rules Committee will discuss their options on Thursday. Quick look at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau area tonight. Chance of rain, lows around 50, light winds. Thursday, mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, August 10th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.